produce what is righteous and true. And when Jesus Christ called us salt and light, he was telling us that we were left in this world to influence it for the glory of Almighty God. We are salt to help retard the corruption in this world, and we are light to help dispel the confusion that we find all around us. And by the way, both salt and light are miracles. Do you realize that salt is composed of chloride and sodium, and both of these are highly explosive elements? Yet God has combined them in such a manner that they are stable, edible, and valuable. That's a miracle. And let me say something to you, light is also a miracle. And the whole message is going to explain to you why light is a miracle. Now, we've already considered the sermon on ye are salt of the earth. We've already preached on that several weeks ago. Now we turn right around and we consider ourselves as the light of the world. And there are several things that come out in our text about the light of the world. Number one, the first thing we notice is the light's identity. Who is the light? The Bible says in verse number 14, notice the first word, ye are the light of the world. Now notice in verse 14, the Lord Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. He's identifying who the light is. Now in order for us to see who he's talking about, we must see who he's talking to. We must look at the context. And if you back up to verse number 1, you notice it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when it was set, his disciples came unto him. In our context, we see that the Lord Jesus is speaking specifically about those who are in the family of God. God's children are identified as the light of the world. The Bible says in Philippians 2:15 that ye, and in verse 12 of Philippians 2, it's talking about the brethren, that ye, brethren, may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye, talking about the brethren, are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Now before we go further here, it would do us well to explain how this can be, because I know what somebody might be thinking. I thought Jesus said he was the light of the world. And he did. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 9:5, as long as I'm in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. But the key words is, as long as I'm in it. Did you get it? As long as I'm in it. Look at John chapter 1 with me. You're in Matthew. Just flip over to the book of John with me, please. John chapter 1, and look at verse number 4. John chapter 1, verse 4. I'm trying to explain the identity of the light, and how can it be that Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and turns right around and says, you are the light of the world. We have to explain that. Don't you see that? Because I don't want anybody to be confused. Is that a contradiction in God's word? No, it is not. And I'll prove it to you. Stay with me. In John chapter 1, verse 4, in him, talking about the Lord, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Flip back to the book of Matthew and wait for me there. Now, stay with me here. These verses teach us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. However, the Lord tells his children in Matthew chapter 5, ye are the light of the world. Now, how can this be? Now, what I'm getting ready to share with you is a blessing. A wonderful blessing. And you know where I'm going with this, I think. If you don't, you will in just a moment. In John chapter 12, verse 36, the Bible says, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. See, the Bible teaches us throughout Scripture, and we're going to turn to him in just a moment. When we place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, we become the children of light, And when this takes place, something great takes place. It's found in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, where Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." The Bible says, turn over to the book of Colossians with me just a moment. The book of Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And look at verse number 21. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." By the way, you are in one of those two parts of that verse right there. You're either in the first part, you're alienated, or you're in the second part, you're reconciled. Praise God if you are reconciled tonight. Amen. Every one of us were wicked. I'm talking about away from God and alienated from the Lord God Almighty. But he has reconciled us to himself by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. When that happened, look at verse number 22, "in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Look at verse number 27 closely. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." Here it is. "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Now, what does this mean? In a nutshell, what I'm talking to you about, we're looking at the identity of the light of the world. He said, "Ye are the light of the world." Yet he said, "I am the light of the world." What's he talking about? He's saying when the Lord Jesus Christ, get this, when he ascended back to heaven, the Holy Spirit of God began to indwell believers. In other words, we who are saved have the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of us, and he who is the light of the world has placed himself in me so he can look at me and say, "You are the light of the world because I am in you and I want my light to shine through you." Are you listening? That's a privilege to have Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to living inside our hearts. And when we do that, that's why he could say, "You are the light of the world." He wasn't saying their light. He was talking about his light inside of them. The light of the world lives in me. Therefore, the Lord identifies his children as the light of the world because he lives inside of us. Amen. By the way, that's doctrine. That's Bible doctrine. It's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. If you're saved, you've got the light of the world living inside of you. Amen. That's exciting. That's the identity of the light. Number two, in verses 14 and 15, we notice the illustrations of the light. He says in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world." There's the identity. Number two, notice the illustrations that he gives of the light. He says, "A city," halfway through verse 14, "a city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Now in these verses, the Lord Jesus chose to give us some illustrations to help us understand more of what we are as his children and the light of the world in this world. The first illustration he gives is a city on a hill. That's in verse number 14. Now keep in mind that a city is not a single light. It's a collection of many lights. The cities in that day were often constructed out of white limestone. Now imagine a limestone city sitting on top of a hill, and the sun rises and reflects off that city. It could be seen for miles in the daytime. It could not be hidden. When night falls, the moon would also light that city. But even if the moon didn't, the lights would that were on in the city. I'm talking about in the windows of the houses. And those lights could be seen for miles around. It could not be hidden. He's saying you as a collection of my disciples are like a city that should not be hidden. But let the light shine where the entire world can say something's going on right up there. A city on a hill. Then he goes on to say this. He says, "You are a candle not to be placed under a bushel." That is in verse number 15. Now, don't you see how he's showing a city that is a collection of many lights? Then he says, but you as an individual are a candle. You have an individual light. And the individual lights help make up the city of many lights. You understand? That's the singularity of it. The illustration refers to the individual believer letting their light shine. And as they let their light shine, somebody else does, and somebody else does, and somebody else does. And before you know it, there's a mighty city sitting on a hill. The Lord is telling every single believer to let his light shine through them and don't hide it under a bushel. Now, this is a separate sermon. I'm just going to tap these on the head. I'm just going to kind of whet your appetite a little bit here, and you can go home and study this out. But there are some bushels that people try to hide their light under. First of all, people try to hide their light under the bushel of fear. No doubt about it. You know why some people do not do anything for God? They're afraid to. What will somebody say about me? What will they think about me? What if I don't go with them where they want to go? What if I don't listen to what they want me to listen to? What if I don't drink what they want me to drink? What if I don't go? I mean, what if I just stick out like a sore thumb? That's exactly what Jesus said you're supposed to do. There's to be a difference between a light and darkness. There's difference, folks. And God says, if you are a light, if I'm living inside of you, don't hide it under a bushel. Let it shine for the glory of Almighty God. A young man who became a Christian went off to a summer lumber camp to work. His pastor became concerned about him because he knew it would be a difficult situation for him as a new believer to be a light for the Lord among that worldly crowd. So after the summer was over and the boy returned, the pastor said, son, I want you to know I knew you'd just been saved and I knew it was going to be difficult on you, so I prayed for you while you were working this summer at the lumber camp. I was praying that they wouldn't make it too hard on you. And the young man responded by saying this, oh no, preacher, I didn't have it hard at the lumber camp, he said. You know, in fact, preacher, none of them ever found out that I was a Christian. You know, I can kind of expect that out of a new believer, but there are God's children that's been saved for years who are doing the same thing. And that's as wicked can be. You know I'm telling you the truth tonight. God wants our candles to shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Some hide it under the bushel of fear. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Secondly, people try to hide it under the bushel of apathy. You know why some people never let their light shine? Now, you understand when I'm talking about your light, I'm talking about your testimony. I'm talking about letting people see Jesus Christ in you. I'm not talking about lifestyle evangelism. I'm just talking about that he who lives in you wants to live through you now, and he wants to manifest himself as the answer to the world's needs. That's what he wants to do. Some people don't do it because they're afraid. Some people don't do it. They hide it under the bushel of apathy. They just don't care. Aren't you glad somebody cared enough to talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ? Where would you be if somebody hadn't talked to you about the Lord? Where would you be? It's a shame that there's a rich man in hell burning tonight who is concerned more about people than some of us in this auditorium are concerned about them. That's a shame. God wants us to be concerned. Then people try to hide it under the bushel of leisure. This is found in Luke chapter 8, verse 16. It says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel or putteth it under a bed. A bed. No man lighteth a candle and putteth it under a vessel, and they don't put it under a bed. Could it be that he's talking about don't be lazy? I can't prove that, but you can't disprove it. Amen. Could it be? And I do know this, that some people are just too lazy to let their light shine for Jesus Christ. Now that's a fact. In a nutshell, what God is saying here with the illustrations of the light of the world, he's saying, I want my children to let their individual candles shine and come together as an individual. And I'm talking about this candle joined with this candle and this candle with this candle and this candle with this candle until all the candles form a mighty city for God.
that can't be hid and goes forward for the glory of Almighty God.
Powerful illustrations. Now I want to illustrate this. I want whoever's back there in the back, I'm talking about back in the sound room right now, if you would, turn out all the lights in here, okay? Turn out all the lights. Now, don't cut me off, please. You know what I mean? Turn out all the lights. All of them. I'm talking about right here, okay? Now, I know that there's still some light coming in from the windows. That illustrates a point too. But I want you to pretend with me that there's absolutely no light at all in here. None. By the way, some of you all, I can't see you as good as I used to. By the way, that might be a good reason to keep the lights off. You know what I mean? No. I'm just kidding. I think. No, I'm playing with you. Now, I want you right now just to turn one of the lights back on. What happened? It's a little bit clearer, doesn't it? Turn another light on. What happened? Turn another light on. Boy, isn't that good when I just speak and there is light, you know. Behold, he speaks and there is light. Turn another light on. Another. What happens? The more light that shines, the brighter it is. And some of you all will never remember my message, but you'll remember that illustration right there. What am I saying? What if that light right over there said, I'm not making a difference? That light that came on, every single light that came on made it a little bit brighter, didn't it? Yes or no? Sure it did. And every single candle that lets the light shine brightly manifests what the world really needs. And it's Jesus Christ. Number one, we notice the identity of the light. Number two, the illustrations of the light. Number three, the importance of the light. We see this in verses 15, the latter part, into verse 16. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Now, the importance of the light shining is so other people can see. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? Isn't that deep preaching tonight? Can you understand that? You know what the importance of the light shining is? So other people can see. They can see what they need, and they can see what to avoid. Amen. We know that spring breaks forth because God's designed it to do so. But let me just talk to you a little bit. As the earth moves closer in its orbit to the sun, the light that reaches our planet is able to bring life out of deadness. And on a smaller scale, a dying plant can often be rejuvenated by exposing it to the warm, life-giving rays of the sun. Now, we know that it was the light of the gospel of grace that brought life into our dead souls. Our hearts were warmed by the truth of the Word of God, and we were delivered from death and darkness by His light. Now we, as we let our light shine in a dark and dead world, the same phenomenon takes place. God uses the light of our witness and our testimony to warm the dead sinner's heart and to draw them to Jesus for salvation. And our light, that is really not our light, it's His through us, is being reflected by us and as a means of bringing life, the life of heaven, to a soul that's on its way to hell. You know, when the lights are off, don't turn them back off, please, but when the lights are off, the easier it is for people to fall over something that they can't see. Lights help others see more clearly. Without our light shining, get it now, if you don't let your light shine, you may help somebody trip and fall into hell. As a matter of fact, don't turn to it for time's sake, but the Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says this. It says, in whom the God, little g, of this world hath, anybody know the next word? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake.
You know what the devil's out to do? Blind people.
And by the way, every lost person in the world today is blinded. Every one of them. They do not really see where they're going when they die. They do not really see the danger that they're in. You know what a Christian does? The Lord has put himself in you. And even though they can't literally see him, they can see his light in you. And they can see a changed life in you. And they can see what he's done in you. And when they see his light, it shows them, wait a minute, I am going the wrong direction. Look where that road leads. See, the problem is we don't have enough Christians letting their candles shine. That's the problem. No doubt about it. Philippians 2, 15 and 16, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. God says, listen, you've got me living inside of you. I'm the light of the world, and I've given you my word, and I want you to shine brightly, and I want you to take the word of life to those people, because they're on the road to hell. They are blinded, and they need to see what direction they're headed. And he says, the way I show them is you're the light of the world. Let your light shine. Are you getting the message tonight? Are you getting it? Amen. If you're not, I'm going to start all over again. You getting the message? That's the first time someone has said amen in all your life, isn't it? Two more points, I'm through. You know that means nothing, right? Number four, we notice the instruction of the light. In verse 16, first part, look at it. Let your light so shine before men. Does that sound like a request? No. The Lord Jesus Christ is not asking us to do this. He's telling us to do it. He's instructing us. He's commanding us to do it. This is not a suggestion, but a direct command given by God to his children. In other words, if we do not allow our lights to shine in this dark world around us, we are living in direct disobedience to the will of God. By the way, Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. I guarantee you, if I ask every one of you individually, I'm not going to do this, but if I ask every one of you individually, do you love God? Probably everybody in this room said, oh yes, I love God. You know what Jesus said? Stop saying it and show me. Your words don't mean much if your actions don't back it up. And God says, you love me? Obey me. By the way, after all the Lord Jesus has done for us, should we not desire to live in obedience to his will? How good's he been to you? I say that with a smile on my face because it's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, honestly, it's ridiculous how good he's been to us. It's ridiculous. I mean, think about God's goodness. How good's he been to you? Folks, if you're saved, he saved you from hell. Amen. He's given you peace. Have you failed him since you've been saved? Sure. Did he cast you out? No. He's still in you. He's not going to forsake you. He's good to his children. And the least we can do is say, God, if you tell me to jump, how high do you want me to jump? And the thing is, it's so interesting to me that everything God tells us to do, he doesn't necessarily say it for him. Now, it is for him, but everything he gives us to do is for our benefit. He says, if you do this, I'll bless your life. If you do this, I'll give you peace. I'll take care of you. You'll be fruitful. I'll answer your prayers. What a God we serve, folks, honestly. I mean, think about it. One of the areas that we are to obey him in is letting our lives. In other words, folks, he wants you to impact your world. Are you influencing the world around? By the way, you are influencing it. But are you influencing it with light or with darkness? You just going around just hiding your light under a bushel? Oh, I just don't want anybody to know. Listen, I'm so sick of that. In my life, I've been guilty of the same thing. We need to let our light shine. Instruction. The last thing, which is really the most important thing, really, and that is the intention of it. What is the intention of letting our light shine? Why should you? Is it hard to let your light shine? Yes. If it wasn't, everybody'd be doing it. Right or wrong? Sure it is. But why should you do it? Why should you do it? What's the intention of the whole thing? It's found in the latter part of verse 16. Look at it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and here it is, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know, the real reason for letting our light shine is to glorify our God. This simply means to honor or magnify Him. By the way, do you realize light does not exist to call attention to itself? I don't see anybody looking up and saying, look at those beautiful lights
tonight. Good, look at that. That's beautiful.
No, they don't exist to call attention to themselves. They exist so you can see what's going on. Hey, you're not to exist to bring glory to yourself. Our testimony is not about us. Our testimony is about God. Why should you clean your testimony? Why should you listen to what God wants you to listen to? Why should you go where God wants you to go? Why should you do what God wants you to do? Why should you do that? Why? So people can see you? No, because people need to see God. And they need to see how He's changed your life. Our purpose is not to make people look at us and say, man, what a great Christian. But our purpose should be for them to look and say, man, they must serve a great God. I'd like to know Him. I'd like to know Him. I'd like to know Him. How do you do this? The Bible says through good works. That they may see your good works and glorify God. What's that mean? You know, good works are works produced in and through us by Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says we're not good. There's none good. No, not one. There's only one good, and that's God. But God lives in us, you understand? And as we yield our life to Him, He works through us, and it's not our good works, it's His good works through us. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not my good works, it's His. And they see somebody whose life has been changed from the inside out. And our light is shining. There's no greater witness than a born-again believer reflecting the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no more powerful testimony than a life which displays the proof of His presence through the fruit of the Spirit. This is seen in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20 with the maniac of Gadara, if you remember. He was naked. He was out of his right mind. He was cutting himself, and God showed up. Jesus Christ stepped on shore, changed his life, and the Bible says he was clothed and sitting and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus Christ. The people kicked Jesus out of town. Read it for yourself. But he had the light of the world still with him. He's still with him. And even though they kicked Jesus out, he sent his candle back to those people. And he and the Bible tells us in verse number 20 of Mark chapter 5 that he began to spread throughout the Decapolis how great things God had done for him. Read it for yourself. And the Bible says, and all men did marvel. They marveled. Why? Because they could argue with the Lord, but they could not argue with that man's changed life. Amen. Jesus changed his life. What about the woman at the well in John chapter 4? In verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Now I'm about through. You know that doesn't mean anything, right? But we're to let our light shine so people can see Jesus Christ in us. He is the one and only need of everybody around the world. And we should cause other people to see Him living in us so He will be glorified. Galatians 1:24, and they glorified God in me. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 9, the Bible says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God
in the day of visitation. A Hindu trader in India once asked a missionary, here's what he said, I quote, "What do you put on your face to make it shine?" With surprise, the man of God answered, "I don't put anything on it." This Hindu said, he began to lose his patience. He said, "Yes, you do. All of you all who believe in Jesus seem to have it. I've seen it in the towns of Agra and Surat and even in the city of Bombay." Suddenly the Christian understood and his face glowed even more. And he said, "Now I know what you mean. And I'll tell you the secret. It's not something we put on from the outside, but something that comes from within. It's the reflection of the light of God in our hearts that you see." When a person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart to be their Savior, the Lord Jesus comes to live inside of them. And when this happens, that person has the light of the world living inside of them. And it's the Lord's will from that time on that they allow His light to shine through them. We should not be ashamed of letting people see what God has done in our lives. Don't be ashamed of that. Because if you are, shame on you. Shame on you. And shame on me. If I'm ever ashamed that I'm a child of God, that I've been delivered, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. And that's what the world needs to hear. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:8, "But ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Proverbs 4:18, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Woodrow Wilson told the story of being in a barber shop one time. He says, "I was sitting in a barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room. A man had come quietly in upon the same errand as myself, just to simply have his hair cut, and he sat in the chair next to me. Every word the man uttered showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware I'd attended an evangelistic service, because D.L. Moody was in that chair. I purposely lingered in a room after he had left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the barber shop." He said they talked in undertones. They didn't even know this man's name, but they knew something had elevated their thoughts. "And I felt that I left that place as I should have left a place of worship." That's convicting. When you walk into the schoolhouse, young people, do you have that effect? When you walk into the workplace, do you have that effect? When you walk on the ball field, do you have that effect? That's the kind of light God desires us all to be. If you're to be honest tonight, and I'm slowly coming to a close here, if you're to be honest tonight, you'd have to confess, along with me, that our light is not as bright as it should be. Maybe your heart's like those old kerosene lamps that they used to have back in the old days. Those old kerosene lamps would get soot on the inside of the glass. And because of that, the light just couldn't shine through like it was supposed to. But when they would clean the soot up on the inside, the light came through again. Is God speaking to you tonight? How's your testimony? On every eyeball, look at me, please. Look right up here at me. How's your testimony? How is it? How is it? Are you a light for Jesus? Could you be doing better? Are you even a Christian? Do you have people on your heart that you want to bring to the Lord? But you realize maybe your life is the roadblock keeping them from Him. Is God speaking to you tonight? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do by God's grace. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. I ask you this question, I close. Here it is. On a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being the brightest, 1 being the dimmest. How bright is your light shining? By the way, if you're not saved, you don't have a light. You're in darkness. You need the Lord.
But he's available tonight. Amen? But if you have him, how brightly is he shining through you? Let's all bow our heads, please, and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've listened so well tonight. Listened so well tonight. There's a song that Ron Hamilton wrote. Brother Gary is going to begin to sing it in just a moment. It's called, I Saw Jesus in You. Our Father God, would you help me to lead, guide, and direct this invitation in a way that honors you and pleases you and glorifies you? Holy Spirit of God, would you work in a mighty way? Draw people to yourself. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Brother Gary will begin to sing in just a moment. Is God speaking to you tonight? Is it possible in a crowd this size that there may be somebody listening to me right now that you're not even sure that the light is inside of you? Do you understand tonight that there are two types of people in the world? There are those who are dark and there are those who are light. Every one of us who are in the light were at one time in the dark. Somebody shared the glorious light of the gospel with us and we received the Lord. Now the light of the world is in us. But is it possible that somebody may be listening to me right now and you're not sure that that's ever happened to you? You do not know that the light of the world is living inside of you. But you know that without him that you're going to burn in hell. And you realize that that's not what you want. And you say, Jody, I'd like to know that I am in the light of the world. I'd like to know that Jesus is living in me. I do not know that, or maybe you know he's not. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I will not call you out. I will not embarrass you. I just want to know how I need to proceed with this invitation. If that's you, you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I need to be sure that the light is in me. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all like that? Would you raise your hand in the air? Anybody at all? My eyes are surfing. I'm looking all over this auditorium. Maybe there's a child of God that maybe you know you're sitting beside of somebody right now that you're just not sure about. You're just not positive about. Maybe right now would be a good time to put your arm around them and say, listen, I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to offend you. But I'm concerned about you. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If you don't, I'll go with you. I'm going to challenge you Christians to do that right now just in case you're sitting beside somebody that you're really concerned about. If you feel like God would have you to do that, I want you to do that. Would you do it? Have you children of God say, Jody, I'm in the light. I'm a child of God. I really am. But God is speaking to me. Now listen, if you respond to something like this, so many people just say, I'm not going to go for it because somebody's going to think I'm just not doing anything. Listen, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. There's already people who've been at the altar and already gone back to sit down. Have y'all say, Jody, thank God I'm in the light. But God is speaking to me. I see the importance that I let it shine because if I don't let my light shine, somebody's going to fall somewhere. Somebody's not going to see that right there that my light could have exposed to them. You say, Jody, pray for me. God's speaking to me about my testimony. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes, many hands. God bless you. God bless you. We're going to stand. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and stand now. Would you please? Our Father, take it, use it, break it in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's beginning to sing. Would you come if God's dealing with you?
When I enter heaven's glory,
I wouldn't let anything keep me in my seat.
My Savior's face,
God help you to do it.
I will
God help you to do
him
it.
10,000 years.
God help you with it.
Then
this song is playing. God is dealing, no doubt about it. The Lord is dealing, no doubt about it. If you're still standing, I want you to look this way, would you please? Aren't you glad somebody shined in your life? Amen. Somebody shined in your life. They really did. They really did. Today's Father's Day. My dad's in the service. He reads the Bible more than anybody else I know on this earth. That helps me. He knows I love him. God's been good to us, hasn't he? We praise him for it. My, what heaven must be like. Every now and then the Holy Spirit of God sweeps by and just lets you, just kind of brushes up against you and says, here's what a little bit of me's like. Can you imagine what it's going to be when it's all of him, in all of his glory, and we see him for the first time? I'm going to turn it over to the preacher here in just a moment. Let me just simply say this. This week, we've got a great opportunity to let our light shine. Let's do it everywhere we go, amen? And pray that God will draw people to himself. That's what it's about, no doubt about it. God help us with it. Preacher, you go right ahead.
Just be seated for just a moment. You, NBT evangelists, come up here. I want to introduce our two young men the Lord sent to work with us this week. Now, who's the rally evangelist? Brother Drew. And just say a word with you.
I am from Clayton, Georgia, and I just finished up my freshman year at college.
My name is Jonathan Beasley, and I am on my sixth year of college. Praise the Lord.
On a six-year plan. You need a lot of prayer and a lot of money, too. But let's pray for these young men. We've got a number of workers, bus workers, and all kind of missionary storytellers and Bible storytellers and personal workers. We've got a dozen, probably 15 to 18 personal workers to do personal work this week and helpers. So we've got a lot of help, but we need the Lord's blessing upon it. So I'm going to ask Brother Drew if he'd just dismiss us in prayer and let's pray for God's touch upon us this week.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for just the opportunity that we can come boldly before your throne of grace and worship together as the body of Christ. I pray that this week we would be willing to be used of you and let our lights shine. Lord, I pray that we would have fruit that remains, and Lord, just let us be faithful until the end, and let us continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I thank you so much for this church and everything that you are going to do in it. I pray that you would just let us have safety in our travels as we go our separate ways and bring us back safely again as we come back to worship you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Good night. God bless you.
We do need to move some furniture tonight, man.